Well, welcome back to the second episode of the illustrious Imago Nutrition Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Mark Glesny. I am here with my sister-in-law and registered dietitian extraordinaire, Danielle Glesny. This, as I said, is our second episode. It is our first remote episode because we did our first one when Danielle and her family was in town with us here in Tennessee, but now she is back in the St. Louis area. And so our second episode, but it's our first one doing this remote. So again, hopefully we get the tech right. And at the end of this, we realize we recorded everything and everything worked. So we'll see. But I'm excited today because we are going to touch on a topic that seems to be, I don't know if you agree with me, Danielle, seems to be one of the hottest topics right now in conversation and in nutrition education in terms of trends. Weight loss certainly is a big part of it, but also nutritional benefits to the concept and the practice of intermittent fasting. And so, by the way, if you have a question for us on intermittent fasting or anything else as it relates to nutrition, you can always submit your questions directly to us. They may end up as an episode on the podcast. To do that, you can just go to imagonutrition.com. That's imagonutrition.com/podcast and submit your questions there, and we will review it and see if it needs to become an episode as we start to crank these out for you guys. And so with that, Danielle, if you don't mind, what I'll do is I'll set us up maybe a little bit with just a backdrop, because maybe some folks don't know what this is. Like, what are we talking about now? What sort of new crazy diet fad are we talking about? What's this intermittent fasting thing? It sounds like a hungry endeavor. And so what I'll do is I'll just kind of set a working definition for us. We'll kind of talk about a little bit of how this plays out practically, how people are deploying this strategy of intermittent fasting. And then I've got kind of like three questions for you from your expertise and from some of your education that you've seen that relates to this practice. And so if that sounds good, here's our working definition for today. Again, this is a very hot topic, intermittent fasting. For the purpose of our discussion, we'll define it as this, that intermittent fasting is any of various meal timing schedules that cycle between voluntary fasting and non-fasting over a given period. Okay, so in other words, intermittent fasting is simply an eating pattern that cycles between eating and not eating. Okay, so fasting and eating. And unlike a diet, we should say this, I'm fairly anti-diet culture, right? And your first point in our first episode to the question was avoid diets, right? So are we about to talk about the validity of a diet? Not necessarily, because unlike a diet, intermittent fasting does not dictate what foods you should eat. It dictates when to eat. Okay, so it's more about nutrient timing than it is about nutrient inclusion or exclusion, if you will. Okay. So, real quick, three common ways that we see this being deployed in general. Okay. I am sure there is a new way to do intermittent fasting being invented right now as you're listening to this episode, right? Like, there's so many different variations, and it seems like we're probably going to continue to invent new ones over the coming years. Okay. But what we want to do is just kind of break it down into three general approaches that I see most often in discussions with people, with clients, whether they've tried it in the past or they're questioning about it in the future. And then in some of the literature where we've seen kind of some commonality. And so there's three common eating patterns in the intermittent fasting movement. The first one is known as 16-8. So 16/8. This is generally where you perform a 16-hour fast, which may sound scary to people, but we're going to talk through that a little bit. Okay, so you do a 16-hour fast and then an 8-hour eating window. Okay, so you're not eating for 16 hours. And then you are allowed to eat for 8 hours. Now, I've also seen this go all the way up to like a 24 ratio, if you will. So some people do like 18 hours of a fast and 6 hours of eating. Some people do 20 hours of a fast and 4 hours of eating. So know that within this methodology, it can scale. somewhere between 16 and 20 hours of a fast, and then the remaining hours as an eating window. However, what I think we agree on is that the most common one out there right now is the 16-8. Okay, so that's number one, is the 16-8 methodology. The second eating pattern would be what we call eat, stop, eat. And that's quite simply where you do full 24-hour fasts 1 to 2 times per week. Okay, so 1 or 2 days, you're choosing to not eat at all for an entire 24 hours. So if you last meal was dinner at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, you're not going to eat again until 6 p.m. on Thursday, full 24 hour. Okay. And then the third one is what's known as a 5-2. And this is not necessarily related to hours, but days. And so the 5 is 5 days of normal eating. And then the 2 is 2 days of very low, what we would consider very low caloric intake, about 500 or 600 calories. But those 2 days need to be non-consecutive. That's generally the guidance. And so 5 days out of the week, you're eating normal. 2 days out of the week that are non-consecutive days, you're eating a minimal amount, 500 to 600 calories. Okay. So that's kind of what it is and kind of how we see it generally being approached. But with that, I'm going to finally be done talking like 6 minutes into this thing and let Danielle speak, because I've got some questions. I think we agree that this is a pretty hot topic, because where were you recently that you came across this? This is kind of a peculiar place to come across intermittent fasting.
I was getting gas at the gas station. A little video popped up and telling me to do some intermittent fasting. So
you can't even get gas these days, which is like $1,000 a gallon, without getting hit over the head with intermittent fasting propaganda. I'm not calling it propaganda, but I am. So anyways, all that's to say, it's everywhere right now, right? In fact, we were texting about this over the weekend. I was at my boys' flag football game, and you texted me like, hey, I think we should kind of let's take a look at some intermittent fasting stuff. I just got some more education on it. And kid you not, I sent you the screenshot. Like 20 minutes later, one of my current clients texts me. He's like, hey, what about intermittent fasting? And then like the next weekend, I had a client consultation with a surgeon in North Dakota. And he's like, look, Mark, I got to ask you, what's up with intermittent fasting, right? And so we're hearing it everywhere, from the gas station to client consultations, okay? So it's out there and everywhere. And so Danielle's going to help us kind of uncover some of the realities of it, maybe some of the myths. But you recently did some education on this, correct?
Yes. I had some continuing ed. So I got to hear from a dietitian that's basically spent her whole life working on it. And it was more so in the treatment of diabetes and obesity. So just looking specifically at those two things and how intermittent fasting can play a role in that. So, cool. Yeah.
Well, so let's just get out the gate going. What have you seen? What have you learned are some of the benefits, you would say, of intermittent fasting? Now we've defined it. We kind of know what it looks like, but let's talk about, are there benefits? Is it all a scam? Is it rooted in science? What are you seeing as some of the benefits of intermittent fasting?
So there are some health benefits to intermittent fasting. One is decreased inflammation, which is responsible for a lot of disease progression. That, for example, there was a study that they were fasting for 14 hours and there was a decrease in blood pressure, waist circumference, blood triglycerides, blood glucose, and bad levels of cholesterol. So that's not considering weight change at all. So those are the benefits outside of weight change. The other one is overall decreased levels of insulin, because in a fasting state, you are switching your metabolism from burning carbohydrates first to burning fat first. So you switch your source of energy. You first burn carbohydrates generally, but in the fasting state, you burn fat stores first for energy. So what that most often you hear is the ketogenic state. So that's what that means. You're burning fat for stores for energy. You can produce ketones. Now, when I say breaking down fat stores, that does not mean weight loss. Mark is pretty famous for his energy balance talk. so you still need that negative energy balance to lose weight. So when you're in the fasting state, it does not mean you're losing weight. You do have to be in that negative energy balance. So those are the biggest benefits that I saw with the intermittent fasting. Any questions about that?
Yeah, and I'll not get ahead of myself too, because the second question, of course, is what are some of the disadvantages, right? We know that with virtually all strategies, there's advantages and disadvantages. There's pros and cons to most things in life. Most things are not 100% good all the time, no matter how you do it, right? So what would you say are some of the disadvantages to intermittent fasting?
Well, it's definitely not for everyone. You definitely want to talk to your doctor if you plan to start this. Specific health conditions, especially diabetes, may not be recommended if you're having some glucose control issues. Mm-hmm. But the first disadvantage I would say is when you're trying to fast and only eat in a certain window, some people may be inclined to eat larger meals because I can't eat after 6 p.m. So now I'm going to eat a lot. Obviously that's ignoring your body cues and those mindful eating habits that we talked about. So you're not able to have smaller, more controlled meals and watching your calories because you're thinking about how you can't eat soon. So that might apply to some people. Maybe that wouldn't be for you. Maybe you'd feel fine with that. So that just depends on the person. The next one is skipping breakfast is never recommended. And so sometimes when you're doing these fasting windows and eating windows, depending on the timing, people might tend to skip breakfast, and fast all the way till 10 a.m. So you're skipping breakfast. So breakfast has always been proven to be helpful for weight management and several other things as well. So then the last one is it's not necessarily been proven to be more successful for weight loss. So the dietitian that I listened to for the continuing ed that spent her whole life working on this so far, she said multiple times it's not shown to have more weight loss than any other method out there currently. We said me and Mark definitely are against diets. And we're really for finding what your lifestyle is, what your food preferences are. So sometimes, this can be part of your lifestyle and you may not even know it. It can be something you can do without feeling like you're on a diet. So I guess that's back into the possible benefits of it. So sometimes, if it allows weight loss for you, it might be more maintainable, for some people, but not necessarily. Yeah.
Yeah. And back to my typical rant. So, I mean, what you're talking about too, if people didn't listen to the first episode, you can go back to that and we'll eventually do an entire episode on energy balance. But what we mean by that is consuming fewer calories than you expend on average over time, right? So if every day you bring in 2000 calories, whether it's with intermittent fasting or not, okay, it's eating 10 meals a day or eating 2 meals a day. If you're bringing in 2000 calories a day and you're expending 2500 calories a day, you're in what's known, as Danielle referenced, a negative energy balance. And so that is the first law of thermodynamics. It's the principle behind the first law of thermodynamics. It is how the body changes weight over time. And so what we're saying is that intermittent fasting has not been shown to be more effective than that, because that is the fulcrum. That's the mechanism by which the body loses weight, right? So if intermittent fasting helps someone adhere to a negative energy balance, you're going to see weight loss results. But like Danielle said, if it causes you to binge, if it causes you to eat more calories than you expend in a day because you've got a shorter eating window, guess what? You're going to gain weight. It's like I've always said, you can lose weight on keto and you can gain weight on keto. You can lose weight in intermittent fasting. You can gain weight in intermittent fasting, because keto, Atkins, intermittent fasting, no matter what it is, not that it's a diet. We're not trying to clump it in with diets, but those are not the mechanisms by which the body changes weight. It's energy balance. So negative energy balance within intermittent fasting causes weight loss. Positive energy balance within intermittent fasting causes weight gain. Okay. And everything you said too was confirmed. I mean, I've been doing some independent research on this too. And it's interesting too, because there is an emerging body of research that shows, because you mentioned breakfast, and I think that might be one of the things that a lot of folks are missing about the intermittent fasting eating pattern is that what I typically hear is folks, I could be wrong on this. This is more based off my experience than any analytical or statistical proof. But what I tend to see is people skipping breakfast. That's part of their fasted window. And so they wake up, they drink some coffee, which helps suppress the appetite. They get cranking and they don't start until, you know, maybe noon, right? Eating or something like that. And they've skipped that. But what we're seeing in research, I've got just one study you could Google. Just Google Sutton, S-U-T-T-O-N. I think it's et al. 2018. And it took a look at an earlier feeding window as actually being more advantageous. And what we mean by an earlier feeding window is the study at least used 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And they showed that there were some benefits above and beyond the benefits of the weight loss and the general calorie restriction, which include improved insulin sensitivity, B cell function, oxidative stress, blood pressure, et cetera. So I think the interesting thing is that within the intermittent fasting world, I think the evidence is beginning to point us toward earlier feeding windows. And this has to do with our circadian rhythm, right? Danielle, like this has to do with the fact that our body processes nutrients better earlier in the day than it does later. And so was that some of what you guys were discussing as well in the continuing ed block?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the early, it's called time restrictive eating, the 16-8 that Mark was talking about. So the early time restrictive eating, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. was the study, showed improvements in blood pressure, not necessarily glycemic control or blood sugar control. But that window really was much more beneficial than doing it late at night. And that is because, like you said, the circadian rhythm, your hormones are producing different hormones for different purposes throughout the day. For example, like melatonin is produced at night to get you prepared to sleep. And that decreases your glucose tolerance. So you're not able to process your carbohydrates as well at night. So you really want to, let your body prepare to rest so you can rest well, eat the food in the morning or morning-ish, early-ish time of the day. Yes.
Makes sense. So that's cool. So I think that's really where the research seems to be pointing us, you know, and that's what, you were studying, the dietitian that you were working with has been studying their whole life. And I think, from the studies that I was able to pull up just in a little bit of preparation for this, that seems to be where we're going with this. So this is an unfolding story. Like I said, it's continuing to evolve both in myths and in truths. And so we're just going to kind of keep rolling out the truths here on the podcast as it relates to this. I'm sure this will not be by any means the last episode we do on intermittent fasting. But one more question for you too. Just kind of practically for the folks listening that are maybe either new to this or they've been wondering about IF or they've done it and didn't experience it, maybe they had a great experience with it or maybe they didn't have a great experience with it. What are some takeaways that you've got just in terms of kind of practically thinking about or working with this concept of intermittent fasting?
Yeah, that's a great question. The first one would be like to not snack at night. Just like we said, the melatonin is increasing at night. You're decreasing your ability to process your carbohydrates, but your body is preparing to sleep. So really letting your body sleep well and not be digesting food at the same time. So as early as you can eat dinner as possible is great. I know once again, lifestyle comes into that, your kids' sports and things like that. So this is not an everyday thing, like if you're eating 5 o'clock dinner, 3 or 4 nights a week, that's great. Instead of having dinner at 7 p.m. every night, so it doesn't have to be an all or nothing type of thing. The other one is, like I mentioned, it can be easier than you think. I was just thinking about my typical days. When I don't have sports with the kids, we do eat an early dinner. And I don't eat after dinner. And so that's not always been the case, but, I realized I did sleep better when I didn't snack after dinner. And so, my next meal, I'll stop eating at 7 PM and my next meal will be 7 AM. So that's 12 hours right there. So it can be easier than you think, or just, if you want to have some of these health benefits and you're not even looking for weight loss, you can try just moving your dinner hour earlier, 1 hour earlier, whatever is manageable, 30 minutes earlier, and then moving your breakfast back, but not skipping breakfast. So that is maybe an advantage, because it's the, like we said, the energy balance. If you have less time in the day to eat, ideally, if you're not focusing on how you can't eat at a certain window, you might be getting less calories in a day. They showed that in some of the studies that 10 to 30% of the calorie, you consume 10 to 30% less calories in intermittent fasting unintentionally, because, you know, it's just the time window. If that's not causing the stressing of, you know, causing us to eat bigger meals.
So, like you said, like you don't consider, like if someone came up to you, be like, hey, do you do intermittent fasting? You're like, not really, but I also don't eat for like 12 hours. Like you don't consider it like, oh, I'm an intermittent faster, but you're just sort of naturally, with science, you know, backing some of these decisions, saying like, I kind of cut it off. I allow my body to go through a cycle. And yeah, I end up not eating for 12 hours, but that doesn't mean I'm skipping major meals or feeling like super restricted throughout the day. Right.
Yeah. So one of the dietitians that I listened to also was talking about how ketones can be produced anywhere from 8 to 10 hours of fasting. So, you know, it doesn't have to be the 14 or 16 hours of fasting to get those health benefits.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think that is really nice to hear. I think the other one is to use the intermittent fasting outside of weight loss. Like we said, it's not more successful with weight loss than other methods. So just really focusing on, do I have high blood pressure? Do I have a family history of diabetes? Are there some things that I want to improve about my health? It's just that fasting state is beneficial. That is what this whole thing is about, is the fasting state is beneficial. And so if you can work on decreasing that snacking at night and increasing your window of rest, allows your cells to rejuvenate. And, so that's another thing, Mark, this is really new, obviously, and they don't have a lot of long-term studies. So we'll find out more and more, as we go, but it's pretty interesting. I already mentioned to not skip breakfast, so that is probably the biggest takeaways, but this is definitely not recommended for everyone, especially if you have any history of an eating disorder, even if it's in remission. I would not recommend this. If you have any need to maintain your weight, if you're malnourished, if you need to gain weight, not recommended. And then also glycemic control, blood sugar issues. Definitely talk to your doctor before starting something like intermittent fasting.
Wow, very cool. Well, that's awesome. Well, I think we covered it. I mean, we did it in a short amount of time, but hopefully this is super helpful for folks. And I know too that, you know, my client that was asking about it, who is going to start experimenting with it with some of these considerations in mind, because I talked to him about the early feeding window and not skipping breakfast, et cetera, et cetera. But he also had something in terms of practical application that was very keen. He said, but if this starts to mess with my workouts, I'm going to ditch it, right? And it doesn't mean you have to ditch it, but keep in mind that very practically, you also don't want your fitness to suffer from this as well, right? You don't want to have this negative return on your workouts to where I don't feel any energy and now I got to go work out because I work out at 8 a.m. and I've been fasting, you know, for 16 hours and I'm just hungry. I've got no energy going into it. So just keep in mind the practical side, like you were talking about, Danielle, not only some of the medical considerations, but also just the practical side of what this looks like. It can be easier than people think. But at the same time, don't let it lord over you as some dictator, you know? And so if you need to go get some carbs and a little bit of protein to get the most out of your workout, do that. Because remember that overall, if your goal is weight loss or fat loss, remember that this is not the fulcrum that tilts that. It's the negative energy balance. And I also just don't want folks, their fitness to suffer, because that's super important as well. So yeah, so hopefully we just kind of sussed through some of the issues. Again, this is by no means exhaustive. You know, you can't exhaust this topic in 25 minutes. But we wanted to give you guys kind of that 30,000 foot view of some of the research, some of the best guidance, some of the shifting research, or not shifting, but where it's pointing to, you know, i.e. earlier feeding windows, et cetera, et cetera. So hopefully this is really clarifying for you guys. If it's been helpful, please subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a review so we know how we're doing. And also, if you've got that friend that's been asking you about this and bugging you and is constantly just is curious about intermittent fasting, do us a favor, just send them this episode. Say, hey, here, hope this is helpful. Let's get together for coffee and chat about it after we both listen. So do us a favor. Yeah, subscribe, leave a review, share us with a friend. And if you're on social media, if you're one of those folks that's on all the platforms, we're on all the platforms as well. So you can find us on your favorite platform at Imago Nutrition, whether that's Facebook or Instagram or YouTube, et cetera, just at Imago Nutrition, I-M-A-G-O Nutrition. And thanks again to Happy Pill. I'm going to click our outro music here in a second. Happy Pill is the band. The song is Thinking About Food, which we're always doing here on the Imago Nutrition Podcast. So thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you in the next episode.
Thinking about food, thinking about food.